Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.
Good afternoon, Thuli.
Good afternoon. Good afternoon, Zama.
How are you doing?
All good, thank you. Thank you so much. Doing very well today. And how are you this lovely Tuesday?
Well, it's a beautiful Tuesday, hot Tuesday, lovely.
Hot.
Yeah, lovely, lovely nonetheless. We got to withstand, yes. the heat wave. What can we do? What can we do?
Maybe it's me. I'm coming back an award winner this time around.
Oh, yeah. Congratulations, man. What have we won?
We were the finalists for the Africa Health Excellence Award under the Employee Wellness Healthcare Professional, and we won the first runner-up prize.
Oh, wow.
For that particular portfolio. So we made it to top two out of four.
Wow.
And a gentleman, very deserving gentleman, won then the trophy award for that.
Wow, man. Congratulations are in order to you, eh?
Thank you so much.
Lovely. Oh, man. Exciting news. Ah, glad to hear that. Now, you know, it's called the most wonderful time of the year, but not everyone finds the holiday season joyous, happy, or merry. In fact, you know, for those who have suffered trauma, hardship, or loss, the holidays can feel triggering and also unbearable. Now, when triggered, many may tend to quick fix unhealthy coping mechanisms. And so today, sure. You are going to help us to make some healthy counter suggestions. And you are going to actually making sure that we understand this, of course, Thuli Kakaza. As you have heard, our dear listener, she's a wellness and development consultant specializing in trauma counseling. And she's also the recipient of the award, AEHA 2024 Employee Wellness. And of course, a first runner up award, as she said, and the 2023 Health Excellence Award finalist, healthcare practitioner. Wow, fantastic stuff. Now, before we get into our conversation, Thuli, we'd like to congratulate you. Of course, we've done that. And I want to actually wish you all the best, and may the award open much more doors for you, you know, going into the future, you know, upwards and forwards to you. God's grace cover you and move with you at all times.
Amen. Thank you so much. Thank you for that, Zama.
Now, I want to understand, what is this holiday-associated trauma? What causes it, actually? Please just explain what this is and what causes it. It's not familiar to me.
All right. So holiday-associated trauma, or managing holiday-associated trauma, as I'd like us to take the approach, is going to be brought down into three bases, right? Mm-hmm. Key words here are managing, holiday season, and trauma.
Mm.
So I have a lot to say about trauma, so I'll leave that one last. Let's talk about managing.
Mm.
When we talk about managing something, it means it doesn't stop, but the manner in which we respond to it does change.
Mm-mm.
Okay? So we're likely to always be triggered because the holiday season comes annually.
Mm-mm.
This most wonderful time, in inverted commas for some, time of the year, comes every year as a trigger season for some people.
Mm-mm.
So managing speaks to the ability to respond differently to triggers. Holiday season. This is now this time of year, end of year, where we're spending a lot of time with family, a lot of expenses are also going out.
Mm-hmm.
It's centered around shutdown, stopping, pausing, connecting with family members, and excessive overspending. Mm-hmm. All right.
Mm-hmm.
That's another great part of that.
Yeah, yeah.
And then trauma. Trauma speaks to wound. Trauma specifically also speaks to an unresolved wound.
Okay.
This can kept in our minds through memory or through our senses, where touch, see, taste, feel, hear are triggers to you about some traumatic negative experience that happened to you, or you witnessed happen to someone very close to you.
Mm-hmm.
And as a result, you are stuck in that traumatic state.
Mm-hmm.
It is inclusive of the likes of accidents. It is inclusive of the likes of abusive childhoods. It's abusive. It's also inclusive, of the likes of abandonment also as children. So we've got managing, which means it hasn't stopped. You're constantly triggered, but you respond and react differently. We've got the holiday season, which happens every year around December, shutting down, you know, chilling with family members and spending a lot of money that some don't even have, right?
Yeah.
And trauma itself, which is an unaddressed, recurring, or past wound.
Mm. All right. So, yeah. Please go ahead.
Okay. So I wanted to break down the words because I found it helps for people to understand. Now, when we're talking about a holiday-associated trauma, then we're referring to a trauma that is brought about by this particular season where I have to now sit with my family members who have hurt me, who have wounded me, who have shaped how I see myself,
okay,
who have, altered how I carry myself. I must sit with the perpetrator. You just touched on, tickets being won for a GBV talk.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a real thing in an African context, in most families, even within, different races and cultures, even some family members, many, many years ago, I think it's a lot more different now. I'd like to believe, I'm hoping and praying it's a lot more different now. Mm. But we do come from a history where perpetrators were our uncles, they were our cousins, they were our fathers who have violated and assaulted male and female children alike.
Yeah.
And every year I'm expected to kiss umalume, kiss umakazi, and just be happy to see them utabawo. Or whatever the case might be. And this season can be very triggering for that. And for others, in this season, I got retrenched and I lost my entire family. The wife left me because I could no longer provide.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
My kids don't love me anymore because I could no longer buy them gifts. It can be a trigger of those past traumatic memories.
Mm-hmm. Do you find that this period of the holiday is a period where people get vulnerable to these memories, as it were?
Yes, it is. Because everywhere you go, there's the reinforcement that this is. And notice I say reinforced,
mm-hmm,
right?
Mm-hmm.
There's the reinforcement that this is a family time.
Mm-hmm.
Family was my trauma for me.
I see.
So this is not a most wonderful time of the year.
Mm-hmm.
Or around this time of year is when I went out with my friends and something, I lost a loved one. We lose a lot of loved ones due to excessive use of alcohol.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You spoke of unhealthy coping mechanisms, that's one of them. Since I don't want to be at home, with all these trigger people, I'd rather go out and drink with my friends, and in the process drinking ourselves to a pulp and losing control while we're driving, losing loved ones, So this time can be very triggering because we are stuck in those moments of that traumatic past, and it's difficult to move forward because every time the 15th of December hits, it's a reminder that Gonje, so-and-so passed away.
Mm.
Gonje, I no longer have a parent. Gonje, I no longer have a child. There's so many different reasons or triggers that may be a result of that. So it's a very triggering season, and it's imposed or brought about as meant to be. And I think it's, of course, well meant, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's meant to be, in inverted commas, it's meant to be, this festive, wonderful time. But for some and for many homes and even households, it's not really such a wonderful time at all.
Mm-hmm. Wow. I know that some of these unfortunate events may have happened some a while ago, some not so long ago. So people will be meeting people at home, they're going to be visiting people, etc. And what do you think, before we get to how to manage it, would you think that the get it over it kind of response is appropriate?
Because immediately, no.
Because we're having fun, man. Can you deal with that at a later time?
Many wish they could, and many try.
Mm.
Again, the excessive drinking to a pulp is an example of such.
I see.
Many do try. More than anything in the season, my encouragement would be around exercising grace. So some are drinking their challenges away, while others are drinking because of enjoyment. But it can lead again to traumatic incidents because, remember, excessive use of alcohol alters, or any substance really, it alters our brain capacity to think and reason.
Mm.
So we act before we think and don't think at all.
Mm.
And we find ourselves in whatever situation that we're in, it imposes an aspect in our bodies that loses impulse control.
Right.
So you are very impulsive as a result. You are reckless with your with yourself, with your mind, your body, and your actions. As a result, you know, we there's always the joke, you know, in families of how there's always that uncle who's going to ruin the party for everyone. You know, it's that kind of a thing. And he doesn't even remember what you guys are talking about the next day. And he's back at it, you know, another bottle down. So it's that kind of a thing where it's more lighter notes. But in other instances, it really is just unhealthy and uncomfortable because you're constantly reminded in other instances of what you're not. You know, it's these little subtle offensive comments that are also made. But we also know, you know, I'm a 2K and even millennials, we're all built different from the boomers and everything. So the different generations are built different and their resilience capacities therefore differ. So it cannot always be just something you can just get over because this is a very triggering season and people coming out are going to go through a lot. While some will be actually really, you know, having a wonderful time. But, you know, with inflation, it's really not as exciting as it used to be 5 years ago.
So, yeah. Right. Now, let's get to some of these tips, you know, on how to manage this holiday-related trauma. Please give us some tips. Where does one start? What does one do?
I have six. Okay.
Yeah.
One of them might be interchangeable. It's going to depend on, you know, people's perception and understanding of it.
Mm-hmm.
The first one is to identify your trigger. What is it about the season that makes you feel uneasy?
Mm-hmm.
Is it being away from home? Is it being at home? Is it that last year you were married, this year you're not married, you're divorced? Is it, you know, you've lost a spouse, you've lost a loved one? What is it that is triggering? Identify the trigger so that you know what it is that you need to process. And, you know, then all the other tips that follow are going to be informing understanding the first point. So then the second point is about considering replacements. Okay. We cannot replace loved ones. However, if there are certain activities and tasks that you would do with them, perhaps consider trying to do those activities without them. We often think that when we're grieving a loved one, it is flawed to live on feelings of, you know, survivor's guilt. However, the reason we're even grieving is because this person was loved and they loved us. And we had such a wonderful and beautiful relationship. So instead of fearing the absence of this relationship, lean into what was a beautiful relationship and, you know, do a bit more, consider doing a bit more of those, some of those activities that you used to enjoy with them. So if there's a particular hotel you guys would go to for the holidays, you know, take yourself with the kids there or take yourself there alone, whatever works for you. If there's a certain set of a teacup that ugogo nomkhulu used to love using. So this time at Christmas morning, you know, use that teacup set. It's the small things that help us, you know, kind of move in a healthier way, as opposed to trying to avoid and run away from the reality of what we no longer have and wish we still did. Right. So consider replacing, you know, negative narratives with a positive connotation around those memories. Third one is around managing our boundaries. Asina wo and asina no, and then we're mad, right? I mean, if kugavula's book, obviously I'm gonna go through the open door. It's free. Right? And it's human nature. So having a boundary is not only about keeping people out, but it's also about remaining in capacity to allow people in. You need to manage how much of yourself you give to people so that you do not feel resentment towards them for coming to you because you are giving from a full point, right? So learn when to say no. Then also, that's going to be requiring the fourth point, which is around managing expectations. Manage your expectations first of yourself and what you can actually do this December. It would have been nice to go chill at Sun City, but maybe. we can just do a braai in the backyard instead. Okay? So managing our expectations around you and what is within your control and you have capacity to actually do financially, emotionally, and mentally, and even physically, right? And also managing the expectations of your loved ones too. If une budget, it works better. If awunayo, calculate, start doing your math. E15 ayikafiki, your caller, all right? Start doing your math. What realistically is within reason for you to give? Time-wise, start looking at your schedule. Who are the people that you are trying to see during the season so that you're able to kind of spread yourself evenly while also maintaining the value of self-care, right? Which then speaks to the fifth point, which is about remembering that you matter too. It is the most wonderful time of the year, predominantly because we speak about it, about sharing it with loved ones, whether this is your spouse or your romantic partner, or it is your family members. But as much as you love them, don't forget loving yourself too. So a little hour to yourself in the day, in between making time for everybody else, is going to be very important. You are significant too. You can, call it, quantify it in your time. You can quantify it by exercising patience with yourself and the loved ones around you. And also self-control pops up again in how much you are eating. You're so full that you could easily regurgitate, right? So self-control around what you're eating, the food. Self-control over how you manage conflict or disagreements over the season, and self-control over your triggers. If you know Uthuli triggers you, do not entertain it. Learn when to speak, the timing, and understanding how these things work for you or don't work for you. Again, going back to boundaries. And the sixth one is about, if things are really beyond your ability to manage on your own, please do seek support. Seek support in family, seek support in friends, and seek support with a healthcare professional or even organizations. The church and non-governmental organizations are always available and accessible. And even some of us as healthcare professionals would be open around this time. Sometimes it's just because you're realizing, yes, I'm being triggered on the 25th. You can start scheduling your appointment for January now. It's understanding yourself and working within what's within reasonable means for you. But identify your triggers, consider replacements, consider trying to enjoy, certain activities and tasks that you used to share with loved ones. Manage your boundaries. Don't accept what you should not be accepting. Manage your expectations with yourself and others. Remember that you matter. Work within what you have capacity to actually do. And remember self-control with your food, how you manage conflict situations and the triggers. And if it is indeed beyond your control, do seek support with loved ones, with family members, with our friends, or even with a healthcare professional or your church or a non-governmental organization. These are the tips I'd give for managing traumas that are triggered by this particular holiday season.
Now, Tuli, there's a question that's coming on the line here as you were talking. The question says, is it ever a solution to just skip the family gathering altogether?
Yes. Is it ever a solution? The answer to that question is absolutely. Can it be sustained lifelong? That can be debatable.
Okay.
You see, for some of us, whilst the family iyahlupha and it's overwhelming and it's burdensome, we do also love them and we do want to have ties with them. So if after you've done all that you can includes the family intervention approach, bringing in umalume, umkhulu from whoever to help mediate, bringing in even, seeking professional counsel if that's something you believe in as a family also. If you have done all that you can do within your capacity and nothing is changing, all you experience through them is hurt, pain, frustration, and anger, then yes, it may be in your best interest to love them from afar. It doesn't change. Staying away from them won't change that you love them. It just does mean you will love them from afar. And it's okay. It's okay to love them from a distance because sometimes when we talk about the boundary setting, remember we said it's not only about keeping people out, it's not only about keeping people out, but it's also about keeping people in. You cannot allow people into your space if you are not open to, you know, receiving, you know, clarity. You're not open to understanding that not all circumstances require you to attack and retaliate in engagement. So sometimes staying away is in your mental, emotional, and physical best interest. And of course, it will always be a financial win to stay away. But also do seek professional counsel to address that. Because in other instances, I've come to find, you know, with some of my clients, and even from personal experience, that the incident happened, but we're stuck there. The incident isn't happening anymore, but where now you are still stuck there. As a result, you deprive yourself of the opportunity to experience your loved ones anew, because you are the one who's still stuck there. Because you did not express what did not sit well with you then. As a result, you are still stuck in then. And when they've moved on, and why you not? They don't even know. They've it's forgotten. 2023, you know, so talking to, you know, professional counsel is also about providing that sense of clarity around those kind of things. Is there still a need to be remaining, or is there still a recurring experience that's happening in the family that's leading you to stay in that state? Or is it you as the individual who finds themselves still stuck there? And it's unhealthy because you deprive yourself the experience of, you know, connection and community. And, you know, going through therapy can help you just reconnect not only with others, but yourself too.
Yeah. Well, Tule, I must thank you so much for your time.
Yeah.
Man, I wish we had much more time for this. But thank you so much, by the way, for coming through. And congratulations once again to you.
Thank you so much, Sama. I truly love these conversations that you guys are constantly hosting. And I think it's really important to start having a lot more conversations that are relatable and speak to our audience in current state of affairs. So I commend you at SID Media, Adventist World Radio, for the kind of, you know, content that you actually seem to be bringing about this year. And going into 2025, I'm sure you guys will continue on this good path.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for bringing me on board. I am available on tuliconsult@gmail.com.
Okay.
And I'm also accessible on the business WhatsApp on 069-622-2902. Not me forgetting my number.
That's fine.
And 069-622-2902. And also on Tuli Consult. And thanks again, Zama. I love this conversation. Keep up the great work as well. And Maranatha, guys.
Maranatha to you as well. Thank you so much and have a fantastic evening.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.